Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
At Christian Apostolic Church, through the Angel Food Ministry, you can get excellent restaurant-quality food at a great low price.
This food is delicious.
Angel Food rocks. You gotta try it. You can't buy better food anywhere.
When you think about saving money while feeding your family the best food, you need to think Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
Mine tastes that good.
It's really good.
This service is available to all. There are no income guidelines. If you eat, you qualify.
I like it.
You've got to try it. It's really good.
CAC's Angel Food Ministry can accept payment in just about any format. You can pay by cash or money order, debit card, credit card, or food stamps card, EBT. The only format we do not accept is personal check.
The food is delicious.
The delicious menu is available on our website right now, along with an order form you can print right from the website. Check it all out at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
It's like they say, restaurant quality food.
Angel Food is awesome.
Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth, and we're pleased to bring you at this time another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. And we encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice you'll hear is Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. Let's roll the tape.
Folks, I'm telling you, evolution is wild speculation. There is zero evidence to support it, but so many people believe it happened because that's all they've ever heard. All right, so the next step, analysis, record what happened during the experiment. It didn't work. So what do you do if it doesn't work? Check it out. All texts say this, and this is what science is. If your test does not work, you go and revise your hypothesis and you repeat the process. You revise it and repeat. If your test worked, even if you got your test to work out, you go and repeat several times that test. That's what makes it science. Well, folks, there's no science for this kind of stuff then. None at all. All right, let me see a show of hands. Everybody in here that wears glasses. Let me see how many people wear glasses. Okay, we've got a lot of people wear glasses. Well, a little quick survey here. Why do you wear glasses?
Because I'm
farsighted, nearsighted. Okay, so that would have to do with seeing. Okay, well, why do you wear glasses? For reading. You read with eyes. That's seeing. Why do you wear glasses? Same thing. Why do you wear glasses? So you can see. Why do you wear glasses? So you see. That's a strange side of the room over there. I don't know about those folks. Maybe it's different over here. Why do you wear glasses?
So I can make sure my students haven't switched seats.
You have to see your students to do that. Why do you wear glasses?
To see far away.
To see. Why do you wear glasses? To see. Oh, this side's no better than this side. Now listen, I'm just a quick little study survey here. I am picking up a common thread that seems to be running through people that wear glasses. You wear your glasses something to do with seeing better. Is a pretty good assumption. Any other reasons? Maybe your toenails grow better because you have glasses on or something? Yeah. Okay. Now, folks, look at this. This is another one of those things. This is so simple, we've overlooked it. Look, most all of, now think of it. Most of the heavy hitter evolutionists, I mean the big top dog evolutionists, they wear glasses. You know why? Because they spend a lot of time in bad lighting, writing and reading reports and on computer screens and the eyeballs, and they wear glasses. Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe all you people that are wearing glasses, you frustrate me so much. Maybe we ought to just, as the saying goes, let nature take its course. Maybe evolution's trying to remove our eyes so they could be replaced with something better, You guys keep stepping in the way of progress. Now, folks, think about this. Even the staunchest of the evolutionists absolutely acknowledges full well, knows full well, that when something starts to change in these things right here, we rush off to somebody that knows how to fix them back up the way they used to be, because that's the way they were supposed to be. When these things don't hear quite like they used to, we rush off to somebody that knows how to fix them back up the way they used to be, because that's the way they were supposed to be. When the old ticker doesn't pump enough anymore, you just don't have any energy, you rush off to somebody that knows how to fix it back up the way it used to be, because that's the way it was supposed to be. Do you understand that the slightest change in our bodies is acknowledged as a bad thing? Well, can you just imagine the incredible amount of change for this to happen? I mean, come on. That's just nonsense, But anyway, so conclusion, was your hypothesis correct? No, so you go and redo it all over again. Now, do we have any five-year-olds in this room? Anybody 5 years old? Anybody 5 year old? Five-year-olds. We got a five-year-old? We got another five-year-old. Okay, how about a four-year-old? Do we have a four-year-old? Is anybody four? Four? Is she four? You're four? Okay, we got a four and a couple of fives. Okay, you guys, 4 and 5 year old, you look up here now and watch this. This particular teacher in this science classroom, now she has a five-year-old daughter. You know, a lot of times kids will do little artwork things and they'll give it to their parents. And a lot of times parents will take that to the workplace and put it on the wall or frame on the desk or something, This particular teacher has a five-year-old daughter who did some artwork. And she took it to class and she put it on the bulletin board. Now, you 4 and 5 year olds, now watch up here close, okay? Here's the piece of paper right here that the five-year-old daughter did. I'm gonna change the slide. I'm gonna zoom it up. I'm gonna read what it says underneath it, and I want you guys to answer, okay? It's real easy, you can do it, don't worry. Okay, check it out, look up here close. Now, here it is changed, here's the piece. Here it is zoomed up, and it says, what's wrong with this picture? Okay, 4 or 5 year old. Hurry, what do you see? You see anything wrong with the picture? The feet? What's wrong with feet? I've got feet. I bet you have feet. I can't see them, but I bet you got feet back there. What's wrong with, look, he's got feet. What's wrong with having feet? The fish has feet, she says. Fish don't have feet. How old are you? 4. 4. Folks, do you know what just happened in this room? Right before your eyes. Do you see what just happened here? Do you understand a four-year-old, a three-year-old, a five-year-old absolutely knows full well beyond a shadow of a doubt, fish don't have feet. But you know what we do with the precious minds of our little kiddos? We ship them off for some heavy indoctrination for about 12 or 15 years. And then they grow up and they write in science publications how fish got feet. And then they produce textbooks, and then they make museum displays. Folks, I'm telling you, do you understand that a 3 or 4 year old child who has never been to a church in their life, they don't even know there is a God, they've never been to a church in their life, but they're 3 or 4 years old, knows absolutely well because of what God put in them already. You have to be educated out of believing what God did because it's naturally in there. The understanding is right there in the first place. You have to be educated out of believing that. And the enemy knows that full well, and he's got a target. Check this out. Scientific American, 15 answers to creationist nonsense. The whole publication this month was absolutely astounding. But I want to show you this page right here. It shows this big column right here, and it says evolution on top. And it's got one little book down here that says creationism. Now, we know what one little book that is. That's just the Bible. That's all you guys have, We've got all of this evidence, they say, for evolution. Watch this, right here. Call your attention to that. Look what it says. A Gallup poll from 1999 and a National Science Board poll from 2000 both revealed that close to half the American public rejects evolution. Inadequate education plays a part in this. Confidence in evolution grows with schooling. Folks, that is sobering. That ought to make our toenails curl up backwards. Do you understand? That's what we just witnessed in this room. Do you realize the devil knows full well that it is a long-term targeted effort to get the minds of the people, and he's doing an excellent job of it. It is sobering what's going on, folks, and the enemy knows full well what he's doing. And we, you know, the Christian community, boy, the first time something goes wrong, we want to bail out on the whole thing. The devil knows full well it's a long-term haul. And folks, that's where we lose the battle. Have you ever thought about the IQ of hell? Have you ever considered the incredibly brilliant minds on this planet that in the end they bust out, what's the point anyway? Folks, it's sobering. It's chilling when you think about it. Anyway, back to the Raven Johnson, talking about the creationist here in this biology textbook. They're saying that our conclusions can be reached only on a basis of faith alone. They are untestable and as such lie outside the realm of science. They say if something is outside of testing, it is outside of science. It is not science. Well, where's the test for any of that stuff they call evolution evidence in there then? They have none. Folks, it is sobering what's going on. But our kids are learning this kind of stuff and it affects them. We watch them fall. We've seen them fall. Here's where the article starts. Scientific creationism, talking about Darwin and his ideas, that evolution has occurred and is still occurring is as well accepted a theory as the existence of gravity. The operation of evolution no more doubted than the prediction that a dropped apple will fall. Folks, they all say this, they all put this connection here. They say the scientific perspective is only one of many worldviews. And that's what I started with Sunday morning. Folks, it is a worldview. And the worldview a person holds matters. And it affects them in a major big way. I'm telling you, it is time, it is high time that we get involved in our kiddos' lives. Folks, it is sobering what's going on out there. And all too often, we put our kids on a big yellow bus and we don't even pay attention at the end of the year what the teacher's name was that just put all this information into our child that God gave us to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, by the way. Look at this thing. Today, more than a century after Darwin, the overwhelming scientific evidence has caused virtually all scientists to agree that life has evolved. Evolutionary change is undeniable from a scientific perspective. Explaining how and why evolution occurs, however, is much more difficult. Yeah, I guess it would be. But they say everybody agrees it happened. We don't have a clue how, you know. They don't have any answers. It's amazing. You know, a lot of times creationists, all not just creationists, but Christians in general are getting on school boards all over this country. In more recent times, 1999, the Kansas school board system is the first to do this in a big major way. The Christians got on the school board by and large, and the evolutionists, and they got upset about it, and they targeted them. They kicked them off the school board next time, and now they're getting back on again this time. It just goes back and forth. But what happened? 1999, they didn't take evolution out of the curriculum. They didn't put creationism in. They just toned down evolution a little bit and said, hey, let's look at it objectively and critically. Well, they didn't like that. The evolutionists didn't. This article is in Nature, volume 401. The context is the Kansas school board issue, okay? So you understand the setting and the context of this. In Nature, volume 401, look what they wrote. Even if all the data point to an intelligent designer, such a hypothesis is excluded from science because it is not naturalistic. Now folks, look what this sentence is saying. They're saying even if all of the evidence points to the fact that there's a God that put this place here, we are still going to deny him. When you realize this kind of stuff, they're saying even if anything but God will do. You know, it is amazing. They don't agree with themselves, and they argue bitterly over all these issues, but anything but God will do in the long run by the time it makes it into these textbooks. And they even admit it in their own publications and literature. And it is incredible what's happening in this country. I want to show you how this is still current today. December, Nature again, December 2004. Folks, just the other day, relatively speaking. December 2004, look at this right here. Science bases its, this is in Nature magazine. Science bases its conclusions on empirical data, not on the authority of the Talmud, Bible, or Quran. And even though some may find it distressing that science recognizes no God, forcing it to do so will only produce bad science. Folks, they are admitting that there is no God. They will not recognize God. They are going to talk about human embryo research and morals on page 666. I'm telling you, it is chilling what's happening. This clock is ticking away, and it is absolutely vital that people get involved and get motivated. You know, when a fossil is found, it does not come with a label that says, this is what I am, and when I lived, and when I died, and how I ate, and how I got around. And it is the worldview of the person that you're looking at when you're looking at that thing, because they're explaining to you what it is they believe that thing did, and when, and how, and why, and all that stuff. Whole Biology is one of the most popular biology textbooks in this country. This is incredible. They say, how did life begin? There were no witnesses to the origin of life. You can't go back in time to see, but there are three options. Number one, ET brought life. Number two, creation. Number three, origin from non-living matter. Most scientists think that life arose on Earth from inanimate matter after the newly formed Earth had cooled, as in Figure 10.1. First, random events produced stable molecules that could reproduce themselves. And then natural selection took over, and here we go. Look what it says. This chapter will examine the third option, life from non-life. The first two possibilities are not considered because they are not testable and thus fall outside the realm of science. Well, folks, where in the world is the test to show non-life turning into life? According to their very definition of what science is not, what they're going to teach is not science. But here's a step further. They say in a public school these days you can't talk about creation. Why not when they bring it up? They can bring it up and downplay it. They can bring it up and say it didn't happen. They can bring it up and ridicule it. They can bring it up and say if you believe in creation, you are implicitly denying the intellectual basis of science itself. They can bring it up and smack it. Folks, then somebody like me ought to be able to go in and defend it then. I'm telling you, if we're at that point in this country where we are only going to show one side of a coin, knowing full well there's another side, and we never let the kids see it, that's not education any longer. Folks, we're in the middle of indoctrination at that point. I'm telling you, we need some Christians to get into the systems. We need people to step up to the plate and get motivated. Let me give you an example. We were in Illinois just the other day. We were doing a seminar in Illinois. We sent a packet to the pastors of information, sample letters, sample this, that, and the other, you know, try to get me on radio shows, TV, whatever, sample this, that, and the other, and, you know, what we need and all that kind of stuff, 6 to 8 weeks ahead of time, usually about 6 weeks. So they have the information. We're in Illinois. Well, the week before we get there, we're doing another seminar at another church, and our phone rings, so I pick up the phone, answer it, and this lady introduces herself. She is the senior school board member, been on the school board for 17 years in the town, the school system, where we're going to be next week. She says, look, I want to get you in the public schools, and it's no big deal. I mean, we're all Christians around here, the whole school board, and everybody is all Christian, and I just wanted to know, do you prefer, you know, elementary, middle school, you know, high school? I said, all. Give me an all of them, and then if we still have time, let's start over and go again, you know, all of them. And so she said, okay. She said, well, look, what I'm going to do then, I just wanted to talk to you first, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to just run this by the superintendent. Now, he's a good, solid Christian man. In fact, he is one of the leaders in his church, and, you know, it'll be absolutely fine with him, but I want to say that it's okay with him when I talk to the principal of the high school, so I, you know, just make sure, follow the right channels, but it's no big deal. I said, okay. Next day, the phone rings, and she says, my wife answers this time. She says, look, the superintendent, who's just going to rubber stamp the thing, he wants some kind of a reference or whatever. So, I mean, we don't have much time as far as that goes now, so we gave him some phone numbers. You know, here, you can call this some public school people, you know. Okay. So we get there, and now we're setting things up on, you know, Friday and Saturday, brings things in, setting up, and this lady comes up, and say, oh, so what am I going to do, the school meeting? Well, the superintendent, he wants to come out to the Sunday morning service and see how it goes. Well, you realize the Sunday morning church service is different than a Monday afternoon school meeting, you know. Oh, sure, he understands that. Sure. Sunday morning shows up. He's not there. This lady says, well, he wanted me to come to the meeting and see how it goes and then report back to him. Now, folks, this is the guy that's just going to rubber stamp it. Of course, he's a good, solid Christian man and leader in his community church and everything, and, you know, it's no big deal. She's just going to get his approval first. So finally, then, I have a radio interview on Monday. So she says, the superintendent would like to speak with you, just kind of talk with you a little bit and sort of, you know, just kind of get a handle on your personality and stuff. So, okay, you want me to call him or go by? Well, no problem. I call him up. And here's the thing, folks. I call him up and ring his extension number. And he says, you know, he answers the phone. And I said, hi, this is Steve Grohman with the Creation Seminar. He said, who? I said, Steve Grohman with the Creation Seminar. He said, who? I said, Steve Grohman, a Creation Seminar. We're doing a series of meetings at a church. I was going to maybe come speak to the school. He says, oh, yeah, okay. How long are you going to be here? And I said, well, we're just here through Wednesday now. He said, oh, that's not near enough time. I need a lot more time than that. Now, folks, here's this guy that's going to just rubber stamp. I'm just going to run it by him because he's a good, solid Christian fella. It'll be okay, but, and that's where the bottleneck came in right there. And here's what this man told me. I'll never forget this as long as I live. First he said, well, I don't have near enough time. And then he said, folks, listen to this. He said, I can't have you come into the school system because we need to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Folks, do you understand that statement? Do you hear what that is saying? This guy is saying when you put your child off in that school system, in a public school system, it's no longer your child. That child belongs to Caesar. And then they can do whatever they want and they cannot do whatever they want. Folks, I'm telling you, it is high time that the church crowd and the community step up to the plate. It is our children the devil's after. This is a good, solid Christian man who's a leader in his community. And so, I'm telling you, we got problems in this country big time. Here today and in the devil's den tomorrow. And they're growing up, folks. I'm telling you, we have seen this repeatedly over and over. We have been in some churches four times over 10 years' time. And we are watching children grow up and falling the hardest nosedive fall you can ever possibly imagine, because people are not paying attention to what's going on with the minds of our kiddos, folks. I'm telling you, it is urgent. So many, many people, I never thought it was going to happen to me, and now here it is. And once it happens to me, it's too late. It's too late at that point. Oh, sometimes they'll come back, understand, but the bottom line is now it's already happened. We need to get involved while we barely still can. We had a seminar scheduled at a church in Kansas. This is incredible. The pastor sends us a letter to cancel the seminar in Kansas. This is March of this year. The atmosphere in Wichita has changed drastically since we spoke. Whereas the debate on creation and evolution was strong, there has been a, it's worded wrong, decidedly changed since the capture of the BTK killer. This has literally consumed Wichita and the state of Kansas. In light of these changes, I would like to try to reschedule the creation seminar for sometime early next year. That's 06. This letter was sent to me in March. March 2005, Nature Magazine. Not only is the issue creation versus evolution still strong in Kansas, folks, it made national publications, science publications. They are going to decide the curriculum by June of this year. And now we have not been given the opportunity to get into that place to help motivate some of those people, to wake them up and help take the blinders off and whatnot until maybe next year. It's too late at that time. Folks, the devil never stops. He never lets up. He never quits. But the Christian community, how can the whole mood of a church change because they caught the BTK killer? I don't even understand that comparison and that logic in my mind. It makes no sense to me. But I'm saying we need to step up to the plate and we need to pay attention and get involved in our kids' lives. There is so much at stake. Somebody wants to know how life began? Why don't we just ask the God that put us here? He told us what he did. And he told us when he did it and why he did it and how he did it. It's all recorded right there. You know, I go into a public school every year in New Hampshire for 4.5 to 6 hours a day for a whole week. Every child that goes through that school system, I get to talk to them for hours during their time in that school system. A couple years ago, I was in there and I went into one of the science classrooms and there was a stack of these life science textbooks up on a shelf. And I asked this teacher, I said, sir, is that the life science book you're using in class today, this year? He said, yes, it is. I said, could I see one of those, please? He said, sure. So he takes it off the shelf and he gave me the book. I opened it up and I said, have you ever read this? And then I looked just to make sure, you know. And he said, I don't understand your question. I said, I'm just asking you, have you ever read this right here on the inside front cover of your textbooks? He said, I don't really understand the question. I said, okay, this is really just a yes or a no. It's really quite simple. I'm asking you, in the 28 years you've been a science teacher at this school system, have you ever once bothered to read the words that are on the inside front cover of every textbook you've ever used, every one you ever will use? Have you ever read these words? And the guy said, well, no, not really. Why? I said, oh man, you ought to read it. It's really funny. Folks, this has been in every textbook, always has been, always will be. Pupils to whom this textbook is issued must not write on any page or mark any part of it in any way. Footnote number one, teacher should see that the pupil's name is clearly written in ink in every book issued. Don't write on it, write on it, don't write on it, write on it, don't write on it, write on it, don't write. Teacher, I'm confused. The confusion starts on the inside of the front cover, you know. It goes for about 400 pages for about 12 years, and we look back and wonder what went wrong, you know. Wow. Hey, first grade, Merrill, do we have any first graders in the room? First grade, anybody in the first grade? You're in the first grade. Check this out. This is a first grade Merrill science textbook. Teacher's tip, ask the child, how old do you think these rocks are? Correct answer, millions of years old. How many millions does it matter? No, it doesn't even matter. Just plant that seed of millions of years old. What does a first grader know about a rock? Hey, could you please spell and define metamorphic rock for us, please? Speak up real... What do you mean, what? Could you maybe just sort of give us a thumbnail sketch, the hardness scale, how rocks form and such? Hurry, we're running out of time. Hurry. No? You know what, folks? What does a first grader know about a rock? You know what they know? That won't work. That didn't scare you, did it?
It did.
It did, okay. Folks, here's the thing. First graders don't know any of that kind of stuff about a rock. But you know what? If you plant that seed of millions of years, doesn't even matter how many million, just get the seed of millions of years and we'll water it down the line. You get that seed in them when they're just a first grader and you water that thing for about 12 years, they're gonna grow up and believe what it is they were told. I'm just saying we need to get involved in our kids while we can. You see this picture up here. You know, a couple of weeks after we shot this picture, that was in the Tetons, and we were in Hurricane Utah after that, a couple weeks after that, and an 18-wheeler fully loaded with these big Microlam floor joists, you know, the big things that better than 2x12s and all that kind of stuff, 53-foot rig with the thing hanging 13 feet off the back end, he decided to smack us and see how he'd fit in the side of the motorhome. Well, that caused a problem for us because we have a schedule. We have somewhere to be. We have somewhere to be after that. We have somewhere to be after that. This is not a recreation vehicle for us. This is not an RV. We don't have a fishing pole and a lawn chair in there. It's full-time living, and we carry rocks and books, and we've got places to be. We've got a problem on our hands now. Now, here's the funny thing. My son, he's this was a 2000 Winnebago, and it was 2 years old, top of the line gas model, and it was in, I guess, 2002. So anyway, Paul was, he was about eight at the time, I guess it was. Now here's my eight-year-old son. He's looking at me. He sees this mess that we have on our hands now, glass everywhere, you know, everything's all messed up. He looks at me and says, "Dad, you know, you have a slide that says, and you preach about it sometimes, and it's in the Bible, and all things work together for good." And he looks at it. He said, "What's the good?" That's a pretty good question for an eight-year-old to ask a dad, don't you think? You know, and I said, "Well, you know, son, I don't know. I may not know. You know, maybe the guy was just a bozo and he did something really dumb and now we've got a problem on our hands. But maybe God did allow this to stop us. Because had this not happened, maybe we were going to be down the road somewhere and it's going to be 70 mile an hour head on with another 18-wheeler and one, two, or all three of us would have been killed. I don't know. We may never know. But one thing I do know, it's going to be okay." Now, I got to tell you, folks, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, "Lord, what are we going to do?" You know, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm scared to death. You know, thinking, "What is going to happen now? We've got a problem." Well, anyway, what happened? the way we are, we have always been the kind of people that if we don't have the money, we don't get it. Now, that even applies to motorhomes. For instance, our first motorhome we got, we had $10,000. And we'd go to these different places and we'd say, "We want to buy a motorhome. How much do you have?" $10,000. They'd laugh at us, you know, "You're not going to get much." And we didn't. We finally got one. It wasn't much, but it was ours. But the point is, we just ate beans and peanut butter. We saved every penny we could possibly save. And then we rode that thing for a year. Our first trip out was terrible. The thing was falling apart, but it was ours. But anyway, the next year goes by, you know, and we're saving every penny we could save, you know. And we had this one plus a little money we could trade in. We traded up. And it got to be the point where we're looking at some rather nice motorhomes over the years, you know. But all we have is our motorhome we're in now and a little bit of money. That's all we have, none more. And when we give them over that money, that means it has to be full fuel, full propane and everything, because we don't have a dime left, so we can't even fill it up down the station. It needs to be full now, you know. And so anyway, and these guys, they wouldn't understand it. Salespeople, they'd go in and they say,
That's about all the time we have for now, but in the future, we'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. That's www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.